How do you answer these shailas? So the Gemara Megillah on Daf Yudalit says that Ein Roen Dam Belaila. And it gives specific directions how to look at the dam. The Gemara says that you're supposed to have it in the shade, Bein Chama L'Tzel Yado, which I assume means you put your hand like to block the shade, so you have sunlight, but not direct sunlight. And that's the way to best examine a shaila, because you'll be most likely to see it correctly in that light. So what's very strange is that the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, none of them quote this din at all. So the Torah HaShlamim, the first one in our Siman, says that's because we're not mavchen bein dam ledam. In other words, very simple, when they were really paskening, distinguishing between red and red, such a tiny, subtle distinction can make all the difference, so you need perfect conditions. But since we are machmir to be metame, anything that's not alad mumis, so you don't need these precise conditions any longer. And he's medayik that way from Rashi. Rashi over there says that the chimar and dam balayla im tame o tahor, hello, tsarech lahavchen mariso im mechamisha damim hatmeim bisha. Sounds like dafka when you're being mavchen the chamisha damim hatmeim, that's when we would have these rules. So Yerucha Shulchan disagrees. Why? Because the Gemara in Chaf on the base, we'll read that Gemara in a moment, the story where Rabbi was asked a shaila, and he first looked at it at night, and he said it was no good, then he looked at it in the day, he said it was good. But the point is, he paskened the shaila at night. And in those days, says the Yerucha Shulchan, they were still being mavchen bein dam ledam. We discussed exactly when that changed, the machlokas between the Ramban and the Rush. But the Aruch Shulchan takes for granted that Bimei Rabbi himself was in fact Mavchen, and yet he was willing to paskin at night. So the Tarsus Shlomim cannot possibly be correct. So the Aruch Shulchan gives a different answer to the question. He says, that which we say, Ein Rowan Balayla, that's talking about Lor HaLavana, but Or HaNer is Kiyom, use a candle, that's got enough light. And therefore, if you're using candlelight, certainly, presumably, if you're using a light bulb, so then electrical light, so then that would be good, and you could check at night. And the Sefer HaOshkol in the Orbach edition, for whatever that's worth, it's not in the Albach edition, also gives the same chiluk as the Aruch HaShulchan. Anyhow, if we follow that view, one way or the other, whether you follow the Tosafot Shlomim or the Aruch HaShulchan, we would presumably be able to use artificial lighting to look at night. Now, it's worth noting that not all artificial light is the same. For example, fluorescent light tends to make things look a little better, though even in fluorescent lights there are different types. And incandescent lights generally tend to make things look a little worse. Meaning, say, if you used an incandescent light bulb and it looked good, you could be pretty confident that it's okay. Though even that's not so simple, and it's actually remarkable how different it could be. I remember once looking at something in Rabbi Willig's office without, there wasn't sunlight, and it looked good. And we went out to look at it across the hall, and in where there was sun, and it was clearly bad. So you'd be surprised how much of a difference sunlight can make. Again, the more experienced a posek is, I think, the more they could take the sun into account. Rabbi Schwartz told me he has a lamp in his office, which apparently is meant to mimic the exact type of light, shade of light, I don't know exactly, color of light of the sun. People get those, you know, if they live in a place that's very rainy and cloudy, so they're not so depressed. They get these light bulbs that are supposed to resemble sunlight. But anyway, so the poskim disagree lemaisa what to do. If you look at the Tshuvos van Hagos or Sternbach's Machmir, he says you have to look during the day. The Shevet HaLevi, Shir Shevet HaLevi, says that if you're confident when you look at it at night, then it's okay. But if you're mesupik, you should look at it during the day. I once was at Rav Israel Auerbach's house, and he was shown Maros and he had incandescent lighting in his house. I mean, fluorescent lighting in his house, like everyone in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have an incandescent light bulb there. The white, very white incandescent fluorescent lighting, and he was shown all sorts of shilos, and he didn't get up, even though it was sunny outside. You know, he could have walked out like 10 feet to his mirpeset, where there was sunlight, and he paskened all the shilos without getting up.
Who is this?
Rav Azriel Orbach, the son of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, son-in-law of Rav Elyashiv. Anyhow, now, assuming though, and Lamaisa, most poskim will look at Maros and night. Around here, I think, generally speaking, the poskim will look at them at night or without sunlight, and if it looks good, then they'll paskin. If it's borderline, so they'll say, wait till you have better light, wait till the sun's out, and you can do a better job checking. What if you can't wait? Like, somebody comes to you on their Leil Tefillah, and the sun is already set, and they show you a Shaila. So you do your best. If it looks good, and you feel confident about that, then you'll tell them to go to the mikvah. If it looks bad, so you might say, let's wait till the morning. Don't start again. We'll look at it in a day. At least you can go to the mikvah on the eighth day if it looks good in the light. Now, what about the following shiloh? Somebody goes ahead and looks at it at night, and it looks problematic. And then they look at it during the day, and it looks better. So what's the halacha? So the Giva Shaul, quoted by the Pischei Tshuva, is Mekel, based off of the story in the Gemara with Rebbe. There's, of course, somewhat of a debate how to read that story, but he says, from here you see it's Mutter, and that's because even if you're allowed to paskin at night, we will concede that daylight is superior, and therefore, essentially what he's saying is, we'll attribute the improvement not to a change in the color, but rather to better lighting. The Sidrei Tahara disagrees. The Sidrei Tahara says, no, if you're misupik at night, then fine. If you looked at it at night, you're not sure, and you look at it during the day and you see, wow, this is clearly better, so then she would be mutaris. But if you would look at it at night and say that, you say, you see it's clearly red, then it's asura, and the fact that it looks better during the day doesn't help. Rav Moshe paskins like the Lahakel, like the Giva Shaul, and he brings a raya from the Gemara, and the Aruch HaShulchan, in a sense l'shitaso, from what we just said before, is machmir, like the Sidrei Tahara. The Aruch HaShulchan says, look, it doesn't make any sense to say that you could paskin at night and still say that you could overrule your psak at night. So he says, once you're going to say we could paskin at night, and remember, how did he read the Gemara? He read that when it says Ein Roen Balayla, that means with moonlight, but if you use candlelight, then you can. So we're saying that candlelight's good. And Memela, it's because we're confident that using candlelight or electrical lights are a fine and valid and good way to paskin. So if they're fine and valid, a good way to paskin, so then you shouldn't be able to change during the day. If you're misupik, fine. But if you're not misupik, so if it looked certainly red at night, then you can't change it. Whereas Rav Moshe and the Giva Shaul will say, no, what you see from that story with the Gemara and Rebbe is that both could be true. On the one hand, we could say, yeah, you could paskin at night, as Rebbe did. And we could also say that, but if it looks better during the day, unless there's reason to suspect that this is a changing color, as in the end Rebbe concluded, but unless there's particular reason to assume that the color is changing, you don't have to assume that it is. In other words, in the end of the day, that really is what their machlokas is. Are we concerned with a changing color? So with the Aruch HaShulchan, yes, Aruch HaShulchan, but Lamaisa, look, you know, right now it looks good. Why do you have to be machmir? His answer would be, but when I first looked at it at night, it looked bad. So, and we know you're allowed to trust your vision at night. Must be it changed. We know there is a possibility for changing. Nobody's going to deny that the possibility of a changing color exists. That's also what you see from that story with Rabbi. And again, what the Givashoa or Rav Moshe says is no. You don't have to be choshesh that it changed, unless, like in that story with Rebbe, you saw it during the day and it looked, it changed. There's evidence of change from two daytime lookings. But otherwise, if it vade looks good during the day, then since we know daylight is better, we'll assume that that would account for why initially it looked bad. So I think that's what it comes down to. Yeah.
For Moshe, did he in the story, did Rebbe purposely look at it twice during the day, or just happened to walk by and see it? Why would he have to look at it twice? He just shouldn't have been Moshe's friend.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if he addresses that. He says like this, Veino lachosh l'nishtane shalomatsoi, like we said, you don't have to be choshesh that it changed, that's very unlikely. Da'af l'rebi lohayachash metchila l'shama nishtane. You see, Rebbe wasn't choshesh shama nishtane. V'chazer bo k'shira'ohu tahor b'yom, mima da'achse ke b'riyaso b'layla l'tame. Shemashma mi rashi, shapasik metchila b'layla dina l'tama. Da'akasav al meikara achaz ke b'tama. Kolomer Amesh lo misafek time, like the Sidur Tara claims, Ala Shapir Chazye v'achzik b'tuma daminan l'kaman Rabbi Badik lo raner. We call makom l'tzafra d'shtani chazer b'avatir. V'rak achar shechaza l'achar shah d'hadar d'shtani d'haya muchach d'hu shinoi shenase b'yom hadar l'milse kamaisa v'time. So he doesn't address your question. But I would assume the answer is, yeah, he happened to see it, happened to look. That's why it's a good idea, too, throughout the Vedika cloth, after you look at it.
It sounds like what I said, Rak Akar Shabbat, like he hadn't seen it as a
Right. Later. Certainly, it doesn't sound like it's something that you'd have to do. Yes? Okay, good.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes?
Is there a difference if he says something they were supposed to be thinking, or it's the same thing? Meaning, would the Givashol change his opinion if he actually says, "Ooh, this looks bad," or "This is bad"? And then, which is the case of Rebbe, is Rebbe declared it to Mayel?
From Rav Moshe takes for granted. The Givashol, I didn't actually look at inside, so I can't say, quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva, but from Rav Moshe, which is the same psak, it's clear, even if you paskind, that you would say this.
He said it explicitly, doesn't he?
Sounds like he's Medayik from the story of Rebbe and the way Rashi reads it. Doesn't sound like it was initially a suffix.
Could it be a coup of the Sidur Tara if I didn't say anything and maybe I was thinking it, or...
Sidur Tara says if you're misuffic, then you could change your mind. If you decided with certainty, even if you didn't verbalize it, psak, it sounds to me that the Sidur Tara would still be machmir, and likewise the Archa Shulchan. Yes?
Going back to the sunlight, does anybody discuss if there's differences during the time of day, like when the sun is setting, you're exposed to different light?
Again, in the end of the day, whether it's for the reason given by the Archa Shulchan or the Tarsus Shlamim or the like, we're not going to be so medakdek. You do what the best that you have. So, I think that's the answer. You use your best light. Okay, so let's go to Sif Aleph. So the Taz, Sif Katan Aleph, he's Docha, the Rim Margolios, that were concerned that the color got bleached. We talked about that last time. And then the Taz was also Docha, the Bach, who's Choshesh, that if you looked at it when it was, that you can't look at it when it's still wet. Agav, when you look at things that are, when they're still wet, we'll talk about this a little more later, in a couple of minutes, but they do sometimes, they're like clear, because it's the liquidy, and sometimes that may falsely look pink due to lighting or your skin behind it or the like. That's not what we're talking about here, in terms of we're going to discuss what happens if it changed colors and the like. But it is tricky. You should be even though we certainly don't paskin like this Bach, as we'll see in a moment. Everybody rejects the Bach. The Bach says that you can't look at it when it's wet. You have to wait for it to dry. We paskin against the Bach. You can look at it when it's wet. But you should be careful looking at it when it's wet, because sometimes, not actually even for the reason that the Bach says, but sometimes things can look pinkish when they're wet. If you don't, especially if you're not as experienced at looking at when they're wet, and that's a practical concern more than a.
Pink is the marijuana?
I'm assuming pink is tame.
You're saying from yellow.
Something clear really looks pink.
Not that red will look pink.
No. Sorry. Now, so anyway, they're docha. So the Taz brings rayos from Shas against the Bach. The truth is that the rayos are not so strong, right? Like one of his rayos is that the halacha is that you're allowed to do a bdika kodem tashmish. So must be. You don't have to wait for it to dry. It's not such a raya, because in that case, they waited anyway until the morning to look at those bedikos. They weren't to matir tashmish immediately, so you don't really have a raya from there. And again, some of his other rayos, as the achronim on the page of the Shulchan Aruch point out, can be deflected. Doesn't mean he's wrong, but the rayos aren't machrach. But in the end of the day, the reason why he thinks that the Bach is wrong is a very important principle in halacha, and the Shach says this over here as well, and that's that lo machzakinan reyasa. In other words, you don't have to, even if there is this possibility that it looks good when it's wet, and then when it dries, it looks bad, right? That possibility does exist. It could happen. But lo machzakinan reyasa, you don't have to worry that it happened. If there's no evidence, there's no basis for that concern, that halachic concern, you don't need to imagine that it might have happened, and therefore, since it looks good when it's wet, then you just throw it out and you say you're done, and that's fine, I don't have to worry about it. That's the opinion of the Shach and the Taz. However, what you also see from the Shach and the Taz is that if that in fact does happen, meaning to say you looked at it when it was wet and it looked good, and then it dries, and then you see a streak of red or something like that, so then you would have to be machmir. In that sense, they agree with the Bach. They think you don't have to be choshish that that's going to happen, so you could look at it when it's wet. But if it does happen, you'd have to be machmir. However, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Chacham Tzvi, who is Mako. And he says, no, if it looked good when it was wet, and then it dries and look bad, it's going to be okay. Now, he brings a very interesting raya to this from the Gemara in Yevamos on Pei Zayin, Durachar Darchei Noam. What does the Gemara over there say? The Gemara over there is talking about Zeka. Is it possible, let's say, a woman dies and has a child, and then the child dies, so afterwards she would later on at that point become Zakuk Leivam? And the Gemara says, no, that can't be. Because we can't have a situation where she was Mutaris Lashuk, and now all of a sudden she becomes a Sur Lashuk. And what if she's already remarried? Impossible. Now, it's very interesting that the Chacham Tzvi brings a raya from there. Because the Pashtus is that you can't go ahead. And even though this is very similar to that halacha in the sense that we told her she's mutaras and now we're going to tell her she's a surah, and what happens if she even had tashmish amita? So it is very similar. It's a big chiddush, though, to say that we could go around for our own, you know, there's a particular shaila in halacha, and we don't really know what's the halacha, but we say, can't be that this is us here, because if it was, that wouldn't be Darchei Noam. There are certain people that did type of things like that. But L'chora, one can't do that. And you don't find the poskim doing that. Again, here and there, Some posts can bring it up like as a sniff, you know, like the famous Radvaz about giving up your life for an amputation and other things like that. But you don't find poskim really poskening based off of Darchei Noam. What about the Gemara? So this might be actually in Machlokas Rishonim Yevamos, but the Pashtus is everybody agrees to it, that there the pshat is how to understand the psukim. In other words, what's the geder of a zeka? What creates the zeka? Is it the lack of child? Talin Shas Misan? Darchei Darchei Noam tells us the proper way to read the psukim, understand the psukim. But it's not like, you know, and comes up in Sukkah. What's the min of Arba Minim? If it's prickly, it's not Darchei Noam. Again, there, like the Rambam says, we had a halach l'moshe m'Sinai what this is, and we're looking for an asmachta to figure out what it is. But we can't go ahead and just decide that a certain halacha is this way. And the truth is that even I think the Chacham Tzvi agrees to that point. Because in the end of the day, if you look at what the machlokes between the Chacham Tzvi versus the Shach and the Taz is that the Chacham Tzvi says that clearly what happened over here was it changed colors afterwards. Meaning to say it was perfectly good, and then it changed. He compares it to rust and other things. You see that reddishness develops over time, maybe by oxidation, or I don't know what scientific process could account for it. But just like rust, you know, you have metal that there's no reddish on it, and then, you know, you go back the next day, and the next day it looks red. We don't say, oh, it was red all along. It changed colors. So things change colors. And since any color change that happens at that point certainly would not be halachically problematic, like we discussed last time. And the Shach and the Taz and the Bach, who are machmir, disagree. And what they're saying is really it was red all along. Meaning to say, everybody is going to agree in the end of the day that if it changes subsequently due to external factors like rust, she'll be mutaretz. And everybody is also going to agree that if it came out red, and it actually was red, she would be asura. And the only question is, are we choshesh? Meaning to say, are we choshesh that the fact that it was only initially examined when it was wet, and when it dried there was red, does that indicate that it must have always been red when it was Yotzei Min HaMakor, it was red, or not? And that's what the Chacham Tzvi brings as a sniff. It's Darchei Noam. It couldn't be that there's a that you have situations where we would paskin she's mutares because you yourself, Taz and Shach, this would be a kasha on the Bach, because the Bach wouldn't have this problem. The Bach says anyway you have to wait for it to dry to paskin. But you, Shach and Taz, would say, yeah, you could paskin when it's wet, and then you have to change your mind when it dries and it looks bad. Can't be, because of that would be a violation of Darchei Noam. The Shevet Halevi writes that in the Shura Shevet Halevi you have to be machmir, though in the Tshuva he writes you don't have to be machmir in the Shail unless it's mamish nishtana la'adom, right? Mamish turns red. As I said, meitza tova, like I said before, is when you're done checking it, throw it out. So you don't have to worry about these Shailas. Yes?
The keys was kitoza la'adom, so I mean, that's the case of the Bach that he's just talking about. So it seems like the chashash is that it was red from the beginning.
Yeah, so that's part of the question, Ktosa V'Domim. In other words, what does Ktosa V'Domim mean? Does Ktosa V'Domim mean that there was originally red here that you didn't see? Or, this is why the Aruch HaShulchan in general is make on that, on the red, the tiny red ridge, which is because he thinks that when colors spread in fabric and there's a reddishness at the end, so that indicates that it was originally, when it spread out, it differentiated. And, you know, there are certain colors that might have, if you distill or differentiate the different components of the color, so they'll have red in it. But since you know, when you look at it as it came out of the body, there was nothing red. So the fact that you could draw red from it once the colors differentiate isn't a problem. So even though, as we talked about last time, that we're generally machmir against that Aruch HaShulchan, when we look at it, we see red, we have to be machmir. But it could be that we would agree in this case of the Chacham Tzvi, that where we looked at it initially, and there was no red, and then when it spread, there was some red at the ridges, that in that case we would be makel. We'd say, clearly this is red that just came from the differentiation. It wasn't red that existed when it left the makor, because otherwise we'd have seen it when we looked at it the first time.
It sounds like from the Shach and the Tach, we're rejecting the Bach, that in Machzik and Riyasa is not,
right.
You can't say that once you seek it to some Adonim. You can only say that to get to a place.
In Machzik and Riyasa just means we don't say Choshes, that's what's going to happen. If it does happen, we have a problem. It could happen.
They're rejecting the Bach in the case of the Sosem Adonim, so they're clearly saying that if we were to seek to the Adonim,
that's exactly the point. That's what I said.
Adonim.
Yeah, for sure.
So why would Rabbi say, meaning we take the Oroch HaShulchan over the Shach and the Taz?
I'm saying we might pass like the Chacham Tzvi against the Shach and Taz, if you were really sure about it when you saw it originally.
Uh-huh.
Now, that doesn't mean that we go as far as the Aruch HaShulchan takes it. The Aruch HaShulchan says when you look at it once and it's dry, you never looked at it before, and it has a very small red ridge, you could be makel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That we don't accept. But if we looked at it when it was wet and we see with 100% certainty there's no red here at all, and then you look at it when it's dry and you see a red ridge, could be in that case we would accept the Chacham Tzvi against the Shach and Taz. Could be. That's what the Sheher Alevi says. You could be Mekel on that unless it was really, really red. But it will never happen that it's really, really red, because it's not going to come Yesh Me'ayin. I imagine. It's hard to imagine that it would. Right? Okay. Now, what about the following Shaila? What about and you'll see this sometimes when you start doing Shimush, that sometimes it seems that things that initially are a little more reddish and with time they turn a little more brownish. You look at it a week after, and again, the reason why you notice this happening when you'll do Shimush is because, you know, you'll, Rabbi Neuberger might say something like, this looked a little different a week ago when I saw it the first time, or you'll do it, bring it from Rav Willig to Rav Neuberger, Rav Neuberger to Rav Willig, you do Rav Willig a week later, and Taki, you remember, looked a little different. So, this is a big problem. If that's really true, that things, colors do change, and we see that Poskim over here do consider that possibility, right? Like, even in the story of Rebbe, where you see that exists. So is that a problem? So I'll tell you two things. First of all, as an Eitz HaTova, that's one reason why one should ask their shilas sooner rather than later. There are several reasons why. Sometimes a person will go ahead and they come to you on like day 6 and or day 7 and they'll show you like 15 questions that they had over the last bunch of days. So that's not a good idea. Now, sometimes you have no choice. Person goes on vacation, they're out of town, they're on a business trip, whatever it is, and then they come back and they had no one to ask their shilas for the last 6 days. So, but ideally you should ask questions sooner rather than later. You don't have to drive yourself crazy for it, but ideally you should ask questions sooner rather than later to avoid that possibility of the colors becoming a little more dull with time. Nevertheless, I would add the following. Do you have to really worry that this happens? Right? You go ahead and you show a posek a shayla and he says it's okay. Do you have to worry that maybe 3 days ago it was red? Right? In the end of the day, like I said, you call them as you see them. And if somebody shows you a shayla and it looks good, you say it's good. You don't have to worry that 6 days ago when this actually happened, it was red and now it looks brown. If now it looks brown, now it looks good, we're makel. why don't we have to worry about it, since we know that lamaisa does happen a little bit. So the first thing is, anything that's really red, really, really red, this doesn't happen to. If you look at a really red badika cloth, 2 months later, 5 months later, it's still red. And if you want to think of it this way, anything that, you know, midoraisa red, doesn't change. It could be that things that are a little bit nota ladmumis with time look a little less nota ladmumis. So they might have been brown that bordered on red originally, and now that tiny amount of reddishness is no longer there. But I don't think you have to worry about that, because that's not really probably a surah in the first place, or machmir. But really, it's not a surah. So lemaisa, in the end of the day, like we said, achsuke reyes alom achsakinan, and if it looks good now, you don't have to worry. But at the same time, it is true that since there is some, the mitzias of the reddishness dulling a little bit does exist, it's good to ask sooner rather than later. Now, what about, and this is a very common question, let's say somebody comes to you and asks you a shayla, and you say, it looks good. And she says, the shoel says, well, but when I looked at it last night, it looked bad. It looked red. What do you do in that case? So if you say, well, what kind of lighting did you look at it in originally? Let's say she says, I originally looked at it at an incandescent bulb, and now you're using a sunlight. So then you certainly don't have to worry, because we know that certain conditions, like incandescent bulbs, make things look worse than they actually are. What about if not? So the Shiur Shevet Alevi writes that if she says with certainty, I am 100% certain that this was originally red and it's changed. In other words, if she says, it looked like this, I just think it's red. So again, you don't have to worry. She doesn't know what red is. If you're a posek and you have shemush and you know what red is, so that's also not a shayla. But let's say she says, this was originally red, and I agree, now it doesn't, there's no red here, but it changed. So the Shiur Yashevet Alevi says, in this case, shavya nafshi chaticha disura, you'd have to be machmir. Again, there'd be more basis for leniency if, let's say, you're using light, sunlight, because that might account for her error. But again, she says, no, it originally didn't look like this. We're looking... So, Ray Willig is more makil than that. Ray Willig says that, well, if it, you know, let's say, now you're looking at it the sunlight, it looks better. So it must be that the original conditions were bad. When she says, originally it looked red, he asks her, did it look like fire truck red? And she'll say no. She says, okay, it's okay. And I think the reason basically behind what Rabbi Willig is that she's not been trained to look at Maros. Until a person has a fair degree of experience, there are things that they might incorrectly think are red that are actually not red, or, you know, at least according to you, with your shemush that you've received, this isn't red. So she thought it was red. But in theory, if she, you know, she said, no, this is mamish, red, this was fire truck red, this was clearly red, and it just changed, then in theory, in that case, it's really hard to be mako. Yes?
Going back to one thing, if stuff which is round, if stuff which is notable tells something has changed, then why would we wait to look at these things? If we think that we're actually making a mistake and it only appears to be notable, if we wait a few days.
No, the halacha is, that's not true. The halacha is, you look at it as the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is anything that's nota ad mumis is a problem. So if right now it's nota ad mumis, it's a problem. You can't say, oh, let me wait 4 more days. Again, you could wait till you have better lighting.
Changes, right?
No, it would still be machmir. If you looked at it in good light, in sunlight, and it was no tel admumis, she would be asura, and waiting isn't going to help. Yeah, Shmuel.
So, if we say that it's Shabbat now, she can't be asura, so then she starts saying, last night you just said, don't say anything, because it's not, Shabbat now, she can't be asura, it's not essential, it's just, no?
Lamaisa, if she thinks, she has credibility. I don't even... That's a Shiloh, what Shavya Nafshe, right? But Shavya Nafshe, it's a Shiloh what it is. But Lamaisa, she in her head knows that it's red. Whether. And she knows red is Usa, right? Yeah.
Along the lines of Don's question, but so let's say if you're in a post, can you get the note of that miss in an electric light? Should you back a week sometime until you go, then go out to check it again in sunlight?
Yeah, I would recommend that. Anytime.
I'm saying like, you could
for sure, you shouldn't be machmir.
You
shouldn't be machmir. If you see something that's no tel admumis in artificial light, and you know that there's a chance that it will be okay if you look in the sun, so for sure you should go to the sun. And if you could wait a couple days to look, you know, it might take a couple days to look in the sun, so you should do that.
Exactly. If I understood the question correctly, it was, let's say it's sunny right now, and I'm looking at it,
Yes, of course you should.
I could look in the sun right now.
Yes.
And wait 3 days.
No, you should never wait, if you could check now.
Yeah, right, that's what I was saying. I'm saying, like, if you could wait, because you know that there's...
No. You're never allowed to wait with the hope that it's going to change colors. That's just a joke. The more accurate color is what it is originally.
It's all based on, because you were saying that
if it's not
being... I was justifying the practice. I was saying, why is it? Avada, you have to look immediately. You should look as soon as you can. You can never close your eyes, and if it's no tel admumis now, if she's a surah, and there's nothing to say. I was just saying that I had this question. This bothered me. I was bothered by this. How could it be that since we know things change, like, shouldn't we be worried that we're doing Isurim? So all I meant to say was, no, you don't have to be worried that you're going to do Isurim, because if it's really red, it's not going to change. The only thing that might change is something that's not really Mikar Hadin red. But Avada, yeah, we still paskin like what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that anything that's no tel admumis is Asura. And you have to, and if it is no tel admumis now, you have to be Machmir. There's nothing to do about it.
What is that chiyuv to look?
How could you not? That this is Asura. Right now, she's Asura.
Yeah, I'm not saying to look after the one who's the but why can't a person ask for Moshe?
Because the better looking, the earlier the better. Since we know they change, the better way is to look at it sooner. That's being Malam Ayin from the Metzias, that the halacha is, right? She's Asura.
If your Metzias is true, then...
The halacha is she's a surah. I'm just saying you don't have to feel bad like you might have been matir and isser for this reason. But the halacha is, halacha l'maisa, anything that's not admumis is aser.
Yeah, that's fine.
Good. So how could you wait for it to change? Right? It's not admumis.
You should feel better.
What?
Except this is a surah. She's still a surah. So what? It changed colors and it wasn't.
What's really asur isn't becoming mutter. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it's right.
In the shah?
Yes.
The bach svara is only the chumas. Meaning, couldn't you imagine that you just adopt the same svara the kula? Meaning, the bach is assuming that just because it's a time has elapsed doesn't mean it's a less accurate depiction. It could be a more accurate depiction. So why? Meaning, basically, they're asking that you could assume that waiting time could also be a more accurate depiction also.
No, it's not true. Once it's dry, maybe waiting for it to dry is more accurate. But waiting for it to change colors is not more accurate. The more the closer it is, the more accurate it is. Yeah?
Going back to the small, why do we have to come on to the idea of the Shavuot 53? Wouldn't this be...
I don't think you need to, but he is.
supposing it'd be.
Yeah, you don't need to. But he is. That's the way he says it, I think. Take a look. Yeah.
Sorry, just going on the Rebbe connected this other point. When it comes to women who have. Who see everything as red, let's say.
That, for sure you should ignore them.
So do you, well,
no, there's no Shabby and Afshay for OCD. So it doesn't exist.
Why is that true, though?
Because someone who doesn't know the halacha or doesn't know how to see, there's no Shabby and Afshay. She's incapable of.
If we know she sees colors that are yellow and she calls them red, and then we know that
she's colorblind. So there's no Shabby and Afshay with colorblind. You don't have an opinion. Okay. So, can women check Vedika cloths? So there's a Gemara that seems to discuss this, though perhaps it's in Machlokas Rishonim, how to read the Gemara. The Gemara Nida Chavam Mabes, Yalta Aisa Dama Lekameh de Rabba Bar Barchana, Vetamila. Yalta brought a Shaila. To Rabbi Rachana, he was Machmir. Hadar Aisi Lekamed Rav Yitzchak, Great Rav Yehuda. Vidachilat, then she brought it to Rav Yitzchak, he was Megil. Vechi Avid Hachi, so parenthetically we ask, how could you do that? Vatanya Chacham Shatime, Ein Chaver Shai Latayer, Aser Ein Chaver Shai Lahatir. So the Gemara says, Mikara Timuye Havi Mitanila. Kevin Damar led to call Yoma, Have Madchile, Ki Agavna Vid, Nehuda Chashbene, Dachila. You're right, Ninachanami, the second psak. Initially, it was Machmir based on the first psak, but what she says. Now, this is a very, very fascinating sugya, though I think probably we shouldn't do it now, which is a Chacham Sha'aser and Chaver Shai Lahatir. Relates actually to Shavya Nafsha, we were talking about before, and Machlokas, we've shown him really how, what's the gather of that, but we're going to ignore that for now. So, it also, from the simple reading of Gemara, sounds like it's a din in the posek, it's not a din in the Shoel. That's also not so clear, though. One way or the other, so that's the Gemara story. So the Gemara asks, "Mi mehemna in Vatanya nemenes isha lomar kazera isi vavaditiv." Fine. Ibailahu kazetiher ish ploni chacham mahu. So this Gemara is subject to a big machlokas we've shown him. What it means. Again, the Gemara says, Kazat tier ish ploni chachamahu. So the way Rashi reads it is like this. Mahu shetismoch alea chaverta, sheher asa dama lezu, ve'amra la, kidam ze shalcha, shalach, heresi gam anila ploni chacham the tier. So a woman sees has a shayla, and her friend tells her, oh, I asked the shayla just like that yesterday, and Rabbi Ploni was Mekel. So that's the Gemara Shaila. And what's the Gemara's answer? So the Gemara says, ah, Tashma, Nemenes Ishaloma Kazera Isi Vavaditet. You see that the second woman should be credible. Because anytime you say Kazera Isi Vavaditet, she's Nemenes. The Gemara says, Shani Hasam, Delay Sei Lekama. Sounds like if you have it, perhaps you have to look at it. Again, this is a dechia. We don't know what the conclusion is to Baidel of Shita. But perhaps what we're saying, the Gemara says perhaps, you're right. If you don't have it in front of you, so then of course her friend would be Nemenes to say Kazera Isi. But since you have it, then you have to ask a posek. So we then try to bring a raya from Yalta, Tashma diyalta aisa adam elakamei de rabbi rachana v'tami la v'nei yitzchak v'nei dachi la v'echa v'hachi v'atanya en chaveru shai v'tar v'amina antumuya v'tumi la kevin da amra d'chol yom v'yam v'agavna v'ainu d'chash b'einai hader dachi la alma mehamna la. So from that story we see again that she's Nemenes, and there it was in front of them. No, Rav Yitzchak bar Yehuda agmari samich. In other words, it wasn't because what she said that he always is Mekel on the Shaila, and today was Machmir, must be his eyes were hurting. But rather, it was the fact that the Posek saw that this looked good, and that was the basis. So that's the Shaila of the Gemara, according to Rashi. And basically, it's a Baidel of Shita. Right? So Shaila seems to be, you have a Shaila, and could a woman, now, interesting Shaila, why does it have the Shaila as her friend tells her it's good? What about herself? Right? if you're learning like Rashi, seemingly a more straightforward version of this question would be like this. A woman has a shayla. She knows that last week she asked the very same shayla to a Rav, and he was Mekel. So can she rely on that? And the Gemara would have answered, it's a bite lo shita. Why does it have a different scenario where she has a shayla? She has no idea. She asks her friends. Her friend says, oh, I had that shayla, and he was Mekel, and then it's a bite lo shita. So the Marsha says that v'lo bai Rashi lefushe ma'usha tismo chaleha atzma b'ra dam acher de'efshar de'in adam ra dam atzma, which is a chiddush. And even then, what's going to be l'maskana? In other words, we prefer this question because maybe people shouldn't answer their own shaylas, right? But l'maskana, what would be, if you think that her friend could do it, could she do it herself? Because we're unsure. So that's the shayla according to Rashi. So the Rashba and the Ritva, the Rishonim, disagree with this reading. They have a number of questions on this reading. Among other things, Amaylo Mehemna, Halo Eidecha Neman Bisurin, why should you be Machmir? And therefore, they understand the Shaila differently. We're talking about a woman who asks the Shaila to a Chacham, and the Chacham himself is Misupuk, or he's Nota Lachmir. But she says, ah, but last week, I asked this shayla to a different Rav, and he was Machmir, he was Mekel. So you should also be Mekel. Why was she asking? Okay, we could talk about that in a moment. But Lemaisa, that's the question. And the answer is, it's actually by the Lov Shita, but we're Machmir in the shayla. And the Rashba says that's because we assume that you should be confident in your own. The Rav, the Posek, the second Posek, should be confident in his own ability to paskin. And since it looks bad to him, the fact that she says somebody else was Mekel shouldn't cause him to undermine his own Hashara. And even if he's Mesupik, still, he should say, okay, this is a Suffek, as opposed to accepting what she says, which is that somebody else would have paskin Mekel. Now, it's interesting, Shaila, actually, which we'll get back to in a moment, if you learn like the Rashba, what about if the other Posek you know has different standards than you? In other words, the Rashba's working with the assumption that there's one standard, right? There's right and there's wrong. And therefore, since, let's say, to you it looks bad, we say to the Posek, you trust your judgment, don't assume, you know, assume she's making the mistake, and you could trust your own judgment. But what about if it's possible that you trust your own judgment and she's also correct because the other posek might have a very different standard? So it's an interesting shayla. What would be for the Rashba? What would the Rashba say in that case? Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. Anyway, if you learn like the Rashba, the Ramban, the Ritva, so then the obvious question is, why did Yalta bother asking, or you could ask it on Yalta, I guess, according to any reading, even if you learn the later Gemara like Rashi, this would be a Shaila in the first Gemara like Yalta, which is, why did Yalta ask this Shaila? Right? Yalta knew that it was okay. So why did she bother asking the Shaila? And the question is basically the following Shaila. Could we deduce from this Gemara that women should not be able to paskin shaylas, either their own shaylas or other women's shaylas? So I guess we should talk one moment, though we're not going to get into, well, can a woman paskin a shayla? So just to clarify, we're not talking about giving smicha to women, we're not talking about women rabbis, that's not for us for now, different shayla. We're asking, can a woman, first of all, issue a horah? So there's a diuk, at the very least, from the Sefer HaChinuch. The Pischei Tshuva makes this diuk. I don't know of anyone who argues. It's based off of the Chinuch and Mitzvah Kufnun base and Ein Zion, that a woman can issue a horah. And the diuk is like this. Because when it comes to the halachos of din, so the Sefer HaChinuch, like most Rishonim, says a woman is pasul for dayanus. He says there that that this mitzvah, which relates to din, being a dayan, doesn't apply to women. But when it comes to the din of shtuya yayin for hora, He doesn't say that. He implies that it applies for Zecharim and Nekevos. He explicitly says, right, V'chein b'isha chachama haruya lahoros, so then the iser of menias hora'a when you're intoxicated applies for a woman. So it seems pretty clear that the chinuch holds that an isha chachama can issue a hora'a. Okay? It's not... doesn't mean that she could be a rabbi or get smicha or the like. That's a different question. So so if that's true, why then didn't Yalta, who seems to have been an expert, have to ask the Shaila? So the Ramban asked the Shaila, and he gives three answers. Number one, Ikala Meimar, Kasalka Daita Chashta, Di Savra Delo, Mehemna Lenafsha. She thought, kasalka daitach, it sounds like it's not the maskana. She was unsure if she was able to be ne'emenes. But lamaisa, she is. Number two, he says, inami, machmir al nafsha. Right? She didn't have to ask the shayla. She taka could have decided on her own, but she was machmir al nafsha. And number three, inami, mishum kvodan shel chachamim halalu, ein eroa b'mekoman. Kedamram liel. Kavod chachamim, it wasn't right for her to be roeh. You know, she had these two gedole hador, these chachamim gedolim. But again, it sounds like from all three of her answers, the Ramban's answers, there's no fundamental objection to an isha roeh dam. The Sidri Tara, though, disagrees. And, yeah.
Where's that
Pesach Tshuva? Oh, where's the Pesach Tshuva? It's on where you'd expect in Hora'a. In the issue of being of hora for b'shikras, did I write it down? Where? I don't remember where, but it's where you'd expect it to be. Or is it kuf mem dalet, kuf mem something like that? Resh mem dalet, I mean, in those simanim. Okay. So what about so what does the Sidrei Tara say? Sifkan Gimel. He writes that you see from Rashi that you can't. Why? Because since the dam is lefaninu, so she can't paskin herself. Ah. So where do you get that from? So basically what comes out is the Sidrei Tara is assuming three chidushim to come to his conclusion. Chidush number one is that we're choshesh for Rashi. We'll talk about that in a moment. Right, because there's no diuk if you read the Gemara like the Rashba and the Ritva and the Chachmei Sfarad. There's only a diuk if you read the Gemara like Rashi. Number two, that lamaskana we're going to be machmir. That since this is a baidelo efshita, which is something that the Rashba says, but Rashi would agree, that since it's a baidelo efshita, we have to be machmir, which means to say that the Gemara shaila was the following scenario: she had a shaila, her friend says to her, Kazera isiv. Or Kazeh, I showed this exact type of question to another posik, he was Mako. And the Gemara is still saying, no, that's not good enough, you have to go ask the Shaila. Right? In other words, it's by the Lashita Lachumra. And finally, you have to assume that the Gemara's Chumra is not just when she's asking somebody else, but also for herself. Meaning to say, just like when she shows her friend, and her friend says, yeah, I know that's good, still the Gemara concludes, or we conclude, Lamaisa, you have to ask the posek. So too, even if she herself is convinced that this is okay, she herself would also still have to ask the posek. That's the conclusion that the Sidrei Tara reaches. If you were to... Now, that last step, which I think the biggest chiddush, makes sense if you learn like that Maharsha, perhaps... doesn't automatically follow from that Marsha, but if you learn like Marsha, but you could have disagreed, you could have said, no, maybe the only reason why you have to ask a posek is because since you yourself are unsure, so then we say, okay, so go to the top, don't just ask your friend, go ask a real posek. But if you yourself are sure, then there'd be no reason to ask a posek, and that's why the Gemara asks the Shaila this way. Right, not like the Sidrei Tara Marsha might be assuming. The Gemara asks the Shaila. It's only a Shaila where you might have to ask the Posek, where you are unsure. But if you yourself are sure, then maybe you don't have to ask. So you can read the Gemara like Rashi and still disagree with the conclusion of the Sidre Tahara on all three of those levels. But as I said, that's the conclusion of the Sidre Tahara. Now, do we have to be choshish for Rashi? After all, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't cite Rashi's position. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't, but the Shach, B'Shem the Bach, does. Also the Marivayo also holds that she's not Nemenes L'Chaverta. So now, maybe we would conclude, based off of this Sidre Tahara, that women can't paskin Maroshailas, right? That's what he seems to be saying. But I don't think that could be correct either. How do I know that's incorrect? Because it's a Mefurish Gemara, not that way. It's a Gemara in Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara over there says, Chareshes, Ihi Tivdok L'Nafsha, D'Tani Am Rabbi Chareshes, Haisev Shchunosenu, Lo Daya Shevodekes La'atzma, Ela Shechavoseha Ro'os U'marosla. The Gemara seems pretty clear that a woman could paskin. So what's the Sidre Tahara going to say about that? So you have to say that very simple chiluk. That's talking about an expert. In that case, the case where Chavoseha Ro'os U'marosla, she was an expert. And that's the mashmos of the Gemara over there. Mashen Kein, our sugya, the Gemara Daf Chaf, is talking about someone who's not a Bekia. Like she says, Kazeh Hitter Lichacham, meaning to say, she's not an expert. But she happened to say, oh yeah, Tak, I happened to have asked this Shaila last week to a Rav, very same Shaila, very same color, and he was Mako. So in that case, the Sidre Tahara says that based off of Rashi, the conclusion that we have to reach is no. If you have a posek available and you have the dam lefanenu, you have to ask the shayla. And lechot has nothing to do with being a woman. The same thing would be with a man. If her husband or another man saw it and says, yeah, kazet tir ploni chacham, we would also say go ask the posek, go ask the expert. Don't guess for yourself based off of previous questions. Maybe there's a chiluk. Maybe there's something here that you're not seeing because you don't know what you're doing. And that would be the conclusion of the Gemara according to Sidre Tahara. But it doesn't seem like there's any possibility to say that from here we see, even if we accept the Sidre Tahara, that fundamentally women can't, women could not rule on Maros, assuming that they're in fact experts.
Maybe this is what Rabbi's saying, but one is Ho'ra, the other is Irechanan and Bisurim. It's not even halakhic, it's in category.
Good. Yeah. So let's actually talk about that now. Let's talk about that now, which is this Ho'ra? Is this Ho'ra? So there's a very interesting Chachmas Adam, and then we'll see the Divrei Chaim even further. It's really Nebinas Adam. I told you to look at it. But he writes, "V'nira li od shemar adam shehi mesupekes bal chaverta v'chaverta amra she'ena notel admumis mutares lismo chaleha da'apa gav de'ena nemenes lomar kazet tierli ploni chacham." Ulapirish Rashi says the Binas Adam, even if we're going to accept the pshat of Rashi, and we're going to conclude that ena nemenes lomar kazet tierli ploni chacham when it's lefaneinu, but this is different. Why? Zeu dafka b'yameihem she'u mitarin afilu mara adam de'lezat sarach b'kios v'aminan kevan de'isa kaman ein somchen aleha avo achshav she'kol hanot el adam tamei she'en etzricha lezat b'kios g'dayla. In other words, he's saying that what's the maskan of the Gemara according to Rashi? So again, the maskana is it's vital or chita, but let's assume, like the Rashba, that we're going to conclude l'chumra. What's the reason for this chumra? What's the reason why you can't say kazet tier li ploni chacham? It's because you need extreme expertise, right? You need a lot of training to paskin maros. So, the Mela, we say you can't rely on Kazet Tierli Ploni Chacham. But nowadays, you don't need so much expertise. You don't need it. Why? Because anything that's not Talad Mumis, we're Machmiran. So if her friend tells her, no, there's no Netilad Mumis here, so then it would be okay. And the Divrei Chaim goes even further. Again, the Chacham Sadeh might agree to this, though he doesn't state this explicitly, but the Divrei Chaim takes this really far. The Divrei Chaim says that there's no Horah anymore in terms of Maros. There's no Horah. So let's say the following Shaila comes up. A woman goes ahead. She asks a Shaila to a certain Rav, and he's Machmir. And then she asks, goes to a different city, and asks the Rav there, and he's Mekah, what's the din? What's the din? Is there such a thing in this case nowadays of Chacham Shetime in Chaver Shai Lahatir? Or no? That's a klal and dine Horah! This isn't Horah! So the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rebbe, said, no such thing as Horah. Tanan ein morin, rak mash eno dome klal la'odem. V'lachen gam nashim pikchos roos. Gam bizman hazeh. Apparently, in sons of old, so they had nashim pikchos, that would be roos. Okay, shh. V'chein v'cholzman. K'vor b'shulchan arach v'achroinim. V'im kein, skipping a little, ein b'zeh horah klal. The nistapik adavar is linan basar rov b'nei adam. So what do you do if you're misopik? Right? You ask rov. So one rov says aser, one rov says mutter. So ask a third. It's different. It's not like horah. Now, what do you mean? We paskin on it. Maybe what he's saying is that anything that requires horah, we don't paskin on. So, in other words, we're machmir. That's what it means to be machmir for anything that's no tilad mumis. It's no tilad mumis. That's something that requires horah. Requires horah. So, for whatever reason, we're machmir. Is there anyone that disagrees with this Divrei Chaim? So maybe you could bring a raya from the Chassam Sofer and the Pischei Tshuva Sifkat Beis, but I'm not sure if it's a raya. Chassam Sofer has a very interesting shaila. Oh. There's a chumrah elsewhere in Shulchan Aruch that to avoid anything that there's a horah in it. If you ask a shayla, even if the Rav Paskin Lahakel, to still avoid it. Avoiding eating it. It's chumrah. It's not something you have to do for sure. In Siman Kuf Tazayin. Right? Behema shahor b'chacham midas chasidus to avoid. So the question is, do we say this for Maros? So the Chassam Sofer was asked this shaila. This woman went ahead, and she got married. And originally her husband wasn't such a chassid, so they would ask their shailas. And then the husband got firmer over the years. And so now he wanted to follow this stringency of being machmir on anything shahor bo chacham. So does that apply here? Now, might not apply here for two reasons. If you might not apply here because to usually, you know, you can be machmir for yourself, but you can't be machmir at somebody else's expense. And he has a shiba to her, right? His chumrah doesn't just relate to himself, it relates to her. So the Chassam Sofer says, no, not true. It's a good Chassam Sofer to remember this type of year. Because even though it's true that he has a shiba to her, but when she married this person, so, okay, he wasn't yet a tam chacham, he wasn't yet a chassid, but mestama, when they were going out, he was an aspiring chassid. So she knew he was going to grow in his Yer Shemayim over the years, and this is exactly what she expected, and this is what she got herself into. And everybody should always be growing in their Yer Shemayim throughout their life. So therefore, it applies. Now, you could have argued, though, if you learn like the Divrei Chaim, that it doesn't make sense to say that, because that's only when there's a horah. But here, there's no such thing as horah anymore, he said. So maybe it doesn't apply. I don't think it's necessarily a raya. Maybe the Chassam Sofer would agree with the Divrei Chaim. He's just saying anything that was a possible question, anything that was a possible question is still a shaila. Now, this might also relate, go back to the machlokas between the between the Ramban and the Rush that we talked about before. Remember, we said the Ramban seems to understand that it was a formal takana to be machmir for anything that's notel ad mumis. If so, so l'chora, there's a hora. Hora is this notel ad mumis. And then the psak of the Devei Chaim is very hard to swallow. Whereas, if you learn like the Rush, so then what the Devei Chaim makes a lot of sense. Because what did the Rush say? Rush never said that there was ever a formal takana to be machmir and anything that's not al mumis. That's just what people happen to do. That's Reb Zeira.
So what's Rebbe talking
about? But this is according to the Rush, being machmir for not al mumis has nothing to do with Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira is just that you have to have shiv nekiyim, not for right. Anything that's red, you have to be yoshev shiv nekiyim. No. There's a machlokas between the Ramban and the Rush. Whether the Takan of Rebbe and Reb Zeira, for that matter, extending it another day, was just a Takana to wait more days, or also to be machmir on all colors. According to the Ramban, it was part of the Takana was to be machmir on all reds. According to the Rush, it was just to wait 6 days was Takanas Rabbi, and Reb Zeira was 7th day. That's a halacha psuka. That's a takana. Rush says that was a formalized takana. But what about this idea that we're machmir for anything that's not actually read, but it's notel ad mumis? The Rush says over there that people just poskim were very hesitant. You know, if some of the Amorayim already were not mavchen bein adom la adom, so how could we have the chutzpah to do so? So therefore, we're machmir. But it's not a formal takana. So then, what the Devei Chaim says makes a lot of sense. Because what's the Devei Chaim saying? Devei Chaim is saying, look, if I say it's bad, I'm not saying it's usur. I'm just saying it's no telad mumis, and therefore I don't have the shoulders to be makel here. Right? Ah, that's not a hora. When you ask a posek a shayla, and the posek says, I don't have the broad shoulders to be makel on the shayla. That's not a hora l'chumra, right? That's just saying, I can't be makel. According to the Rush, when the posek goes ahead and says, look, I can't, this is no telad mumis, that's exactly what the posek is saying. What the posek is saying is, look, I don't have the broad shoulders to be makel on the shayla. That's not a hora. So mimela, then the psak of the Divrei Chaim makes a lot of sense, right? So I think at the end of the day it might make sense that this machlokas, this shayla of the Divrei Chaim would come back to the machlokas between the Ramban and the Rush. We saw before the Chachma Sadma sounds a little bit like the Divrei Chaim, but the truth is there's a rye the other way also from the Divrei Chaim, from the Chachma Sadim. L'maisa, Rabbi Shachter, quoted in Rabbi Savolovsky's Sefer on page 306, says we don't accept this Divrei Chaim, and a ruling on Amara is considered a hora of a chacham. That's true. Also, that's true. That's not a stira. They're two separate points. Two separate points. He's saying that if you don't need shimush, because anything that's not telad mumis is a problem. But at the same time, when a Rav says this is no telad mumis, that's a psak, that's a hora. There's some other interesting tshuvos that I sent you to look at. We don't have time to go into them. Just one last point. Interesting shayla from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was asked, a certain woman used to always ask a shayla to her Rav about a certain type of brown. And he would always be makel on that. Now the Rav moved out of town, and there's no one else who's willing to be makel any longer in town. So Moshe says you could be makel, since you know you've asked this shayla so many times, you know that this is okay, so you could continue to follow that psak. And generally speaking, you know that's what we do a lot of times. Young couple, for example, will ask lots of shaylas at the beginning of marriage, because naturally they have no idea what they're doing. And at a certain time, point in time, a Rav might tell them, you know, you don't have to ask me that shaila every month. When it looks like this, and you're confident that it's like this, then you don't have to ask this question anymore. And obviously, I call lefi ra'os ein ha'adayim. Okay, so here's the plan. We still have a little more to go. So we'll have shir on Wednesday. And I just want to give you one piece of directions. We're going to be doing the sugya over here of Ein Psichas HaKaver Below Dam. It comes up over here as well as in Kuf Tzadi Dalet, as you saw. So instead of doing, it comes up in Kuf here about women secreting chatichos and other things, and then it comes up in Kuf Tzadi Dalet in the context of childbirth and the like. But I don't think we should do it twice. So we'll do it the first time we encounter it, which is over here. So so you should look at the Makoros to that for Kuf Tzadi Dalet now. And in the Makoros, I also sent you issues of Ne'manus HaRofe. We're not going to do that now. We'll do that another time. So we'll have shir on Wednesday. In the event that we don't finish Kuf Tzadi Ches on Wednesday, maybe we'll have shir on Thursday also. But we'll figure that out on Wednesday. Hopefully it won't be necessary.